bring a couple of threads of this together through the text that we heard. From Galatians 5 again, and for you were called to freedom, and do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. As we've been reading in Romans, we have been set free from the spirit of the law of sin and death to use our freedom to love God and to love God by loving and serving others. And it's helpful if you every now and then think about all of the blessings that you have received. All that we have and are comes from God. It is all gift. It is all received. What do you have that you have not been given? And if you reflect about that carefully, you realize we have been blessed, and we've been blessed for a purpose, and that is to be a blessing. So I start to think, I just think about my life. God, what have you done? I start with just life and health and strength and the energy that we have even to do anything. And then, of course, food and drink and shelter and clothes and homes and cars. And I don't know why, but I was just reflecting yesterday on it was just in the last 100 years, that's all it's been to have running water in our homes and inside bathrooms. I mean, famous parents, when they were married, started out in a home, you know, with an outhouse. Many of you have been there and done that. It wasn't that long ago. And to have these kinds of blessings. Then work, employment, provision, retirement funds, and schools, and medical services, and stores, and restaurants, and churches. And then all the myriad of just comforts and conveniences, just the creature comforts that we take for granted. They're gifts. They're to be received with gratitude. And then, of course, the blessings, the benefits, the freedoms, the privileges that we have in this country and in this community. What kind of a community was it? This perfect little whatever the gal from Abbotsford thought it was, you know, just cookie cutter. Was that the word? Yeah, I could see outsiders thinking that. I don't know. Maybe we're a cut above Mayberry RFD or something, but there are a lot of blessings and benefits here. And above all of this are great and many spiritual blessings that are ours in Jesus Christ, our deliverance from sin and death, our forgiveness of our sins, our reconciliation to the Father by the atoning blood of Jesus, and the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit, and the gifts of grace, and the Word of God, and the fellowship of believers, and the Church of Jesus Christ. And we can go on and on and on, and it is good to do that, and to reflect on that, and remember all of these blessings. But what do we owe to the Father? Well, our worship, of course, first of all, and our sincere gratitude and thanks that ought to be frequent on our lips. And then to show our gratitude with our actions, giving ourselves in sharing and in helping others. And so 1 John 3, again, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. So, have we fulfilled that by doing serve once a year? Can we check that off our list and call it good? I suppose it's a bit like expressing your love and gratitude to your spouse once a year on your anniversary. No. Do we express our love and gratitude to God in service to others just once a year at serve? In this text in John, it says, lay down your life we have to lay down our lives for our brothers. Now, when we hear those words, we think crucifixion. We think that we should die for somebody, perhaps. We should do what Jesus did. But it's interesting, John's application in 17 and 18 goes in a different direction. Help someone in need. We should love the way God loved and be merciful the way God was merciful to us. We should show that we're chips off the old block. We should show that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. We should prove that we're adopted in sharing that nature. Love is the way people born of God act. Now, I just want to reflect on this specific application that he gives here in 17 and 18. If you see a brother in need, having need of the world's goods, and you have the means. Now, this is remarkable. Christ's love is within reach of every single one of us. We can all do this. It doesn't matter what our age or our circumstance or how much or how little we have. Now, we're not being called here to be literal martyrs, and this is not a rich young ruler kind of generosity that we're being asked to, you know, give everything to the poor. It's not even a Zacchaeus-like generosity. Give four times of everything. It's simply, whenever you see a brother in need and you have the means to help, that's the kind of generosity, the kind of serving, the kind of sharing. And we all have those kinds of opportunities to lay down a bit of our life for another, whether it's a spouse or a parent or siblings or church members or neighbors or co-workers or a stranger. The opportunity to put someone first, to seek someone's good, forgive them, to listen to them, to include them, to pray for them, to be generous in some tangible way, to make a sacrifice, to lay aside our needs and our wants for the sake of another. Now, I noticed in John's text here, in verse 17, that the word brother, or sister in the translation included in our bulletin, it's singular. There's a way in which it would be easier if it had said brothers and sisters. You know, some sort of nice, general, generic, sort of broad kind of a statement. But he doesn't make it just sort of out there somewhere. He says, your brother. It's specific. It's particular. Now, I'm aware that in churches, it's easy for us to love in a general sort of way. And that's not all bad. One good general way in which we do that is our church benevolence fund that the deacons distribute to those who have need. We give some money to the benevolence fund, and we just know that that's going to bless someone sometime, somewhere, somehow, and the deacons will figure it out. It's a bit removed from us. It pleases me that we do that, and it's a Christ-like thing, but it's just sort of out there. I think another way in which this can happen is in our missions giving. They go out to the world, they serve, they bless, we support them so that they can do that. But that's not all that we're called to do. Notice again, when John says brother, he's talking about the person next to us or next door to us. The person who is known to us. It's personal, it's intimate, it's real, it's tangible. So we're not to fulfill this command in just some sort of vicarious way in some other channels through others. We fulfill this call when we take a genuine interest in another, when we take responsibility for some need that's in another. We share with somebody who's close at hand. Is there a person that the Holy Spirit is bringing to mind that has a specific need and that you're actually in a position to meet it? Does God bring to mind a name? Maybe someone that you've sort of tried to hold off on or not respond or try to, you know, not pay attention, Or is there someone that you realize, yes, and you're going to have to push through some selfishness, some other hindrance that you raise in your own mind? Is your heart open or closed? Love is proven not just by what we say, but by what we do. Anyone can say, I love you. But love shows itself in action. Love takes risks. Love gives and expects nothing in return. Love serves. And that was the beauty of this Serve Week, the testimony again and again and again of making those connections, of breaking down some barriers in some people who kind of wonder what this is all about, or who are these kids and what are they doing and why are they doing it? And to see that love put into action in very tangible ways. It blessed them more than we can imagine, and I suspect it won't be until heaven that we hear some real testimonies, some more testimonies. Because of this opportunity, and because of this morning, and because of what we heard, and because of what I've just shared from God's Word, it's my expectation now that this week you're going to have an opportunity. The Holy Spirit's going to do something around you. And if you're watching, if you're paying attention, you'll see it. An opportunity to live up to the example of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. To be Jesus to someone. And I think this will be true for everyone in every demographic that you want to talk about, every age, young and old. Be watching for that opportunity. My mind is just now going to a street night experience that one of our men had, and encounters with the homeless there in Bellingham. And one of the men, I guess, needed a belt. So one of our guys took his belt off, gave it to him. He had a need. He had the means. Pretty simple, pretty small. And yet, there it is. God's word being put into practice, lived out. And I close with three texts. 1 Peter 1:22. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. And 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Yes, do we need that as a church? Keep loving one another earnestly. That will cover the multitude of our sins. And finally, from 1 Thessalonians 3:12, may the Lord make you increase and abound in your love for one another. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Holy Father in heaven, we beg you this morning to bless our seeking of you and bless our being a blessing to those you put in our path, those right around us. Give us eyes to see them and give us hearts of compassion to respond. And above all, dear Father, grant that our church and our lives will increasingly bring glory to your dear Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose precious name we pray. Amen.